Okay, so last week we spoke about abortion, and this may seem like a continuation of that topic, but that's actually a part of the question, because in America, the question of abortion is presented as an issue of privacy, and that's certainly how the Supreme Court originally understood it, and that's what was reversed recently. And that's really a question, just to what extent is there a relationship between privacy and that particular issue? And that's not something we discussed at all last week. And it's not something we're necessarily going to talk about tonight, because that itself is very much a question. Really, it goes to the issue of whether privacy should be interpreted as autonomy. That's essentially the issue that was before the Supreme Court in the question of abortion, seeing really whether there is autonomy that is granted by the Constitution in the area of abortion, and whether abortion should be seen as something that would be included in such a right. The issue of a right to privacy itself was debated in America for more than a century. It was really brought to the forefront by an article that was written by Louis Brandeis, actually, together with Samuel Warren in the late 1800s and 1890. They argued for a right to privacy, and then what exactly that entailed became a topic of much debate. And it was later on in the 1960s, 1965, with Griswold, that became identified with autonomy, and that led to Roe versus Wade. So the question of whether that should be the understanding of privacy, that's very much at the core of the issue that goes to abortion. But before you get to that, the issue of a right to privacy itself, very much separate from whether that can develop into an issue of autonomy, just privacy in of itself is something that needs to be established. And that's something that's very relevant to this week's parsha, as we'll see with the concept of Matovu Oalech Yaakov and how the Gemara understands the message of that phrase. So that's something I'd like to talk about a little bit tonight. It has some major implications, and we'll see whether we get it all done tonight. Maybe it'll be a two-parter. We'll try to get a little bit of a perspective on that issue. And it seems on the surface that the question of whether there is a right to privacy seems to be a matter of machlokas, and emphasize seems to be, because we'll see that it's hard to believe that it's really a machlokas. But if you open up the beginning of Bava Basra, so for the first few pages, repeatedly throughout the first parak of Bava Basra, it appears to be a machlokas, that back and forth you see again and again surrounding the first Mishnah and other topics in that first parak and later. The first Mishnah talks about the obligation to build a wall between two neighbors or partners who are splitting a formerly shared property. So that responsibility of having a wall between them. So the Gemara discusses it in the context of what appears to be a machlokes, whether hezek re'iya shmei hezek. Is there a status of hezek? Is there a status of damage to hezek re'iya? So how you translate any of that is already a challenge. So part of it is the issue, is the question of whether it's the resolving the machlokes goes to the translation. But just to try to translate it kind of generally, if you want to say hezek re'iya is the harm that comes from being seen, from having my privacy violated. So let's translate that kind of vaguely and broadly right now. Is a privacy violation, let's call hezek re'iya like that in a broad sense right now, is a privacy violation, is that shmei hezek or not? So it sounds a little bit like it's recursive a little bit to say hezek re'iya shmei hezek, so it already contains the word hezek in it, and it's asking if it's a hezek. So to kind of translate it in a modern lingo, it's basically saying in a hezek re'iya, is that a thing? Is it real? Is that something that we care about or not? So a privacy violation, is it real? So essentially what it sounds like the Gemara is asking is, do we care about privacy violations? So we could understand that to be the question of the Gemara: is there a right to privacy? Is this something that we care about or not? Is this something that we protect? So on the surface, it seems like a funny question. And there are many reasons to believe that it is a funny question, because it seems that it should be self-evident that it is a thing, that we do care about privacy, and that it's hard to believe that anyone would think otherwise. And there are many indications that that's the case, and we'll come back to that. But first, what we have to try to determine a little bit is, what would we mean when we talk about just the concept? So what is the issue at hand when we talk about a privacy violation? What is hezek riya? So there are a number of possibilities. There are at least three possibilities, and they're not necessarily exclusive. It could be that they're all true, or any of them are true. It could be that there are aspects of all of these, but there are at least three possibilities of what we're talking about when we refer to the harm of hezek riya. So one is, we could be referring to psychic harm, that there is emotional pain that is involved when somebody feels their privacy to be compromised. That if you're spying on me when I need to have a private moment, if I require my privacy to be protected, and you are violating that, so that inflicts emotional pain on me, and that psychic pain is something that is significant in and of itself. Now, it happens to be there is a separate prohibition in the Torah that we read about in Parshas Behar called Onas Dvarim, and one could argue that a invasion of privacy is included in the prohibition of Onas Dvarim. One could also argue, as we'll see, that may be included in other prohibitions as well. There could be a number of Yisurim that could cover it, but whatever it is, whether it's one or the other, we could be talking about that kind of a problem, that there is an emotional pain that is inflicted upon someone else when you violate their privacy, and maybe that's what we mean by hezek riya. Maybe we're talking about the emotional pain. On the other hand, we could be talking about something that's really more monetary in nature. And particularly in the context of Mishnayos in the beginning of Bava Basra, where it's talking about a wall in between two neighbors. Maybe that's the issue, that when we have property and there are neighbors who can see into our property, so that impacts on our ability to use the property. So therefore, it boils down to a monetary impact. And that essentially, if you have too much visual access into my property, that has an effect on how I can use my property. So it has a dollars and cents consequence. So therefore, I can tell you, put up a wall, or whatever it is we're talking about in whichever sugya it is. And essentially, it's not about psychic pain, it's not about onas dvarim, it's not about emotional discomfort. Maybe it's just about monetary effect. And essentially, you are causing me a loss, whether a loss in potential value. Maybe I can't do business the way I would do it because you are looking at me while I'm working, or maybe I can't get the value that I paid for out of my house, because I don't have the privacy that I need, however we want to emphasize, whatever we want to focus on. But there is a monetary impact from the fact that you are able to see what I don't want you to see. So therefore, I can insist that there has to be a wall. So this is an interesting concept as well. And this would seem to be in the category of Grama Benezikin. So essentially, this is an interesting category just to explain for a second. So we know that I'm not allowed to be mazik you monetarily. I can't do things that break your property and cause you a monetary loss by reducing the value of your assets. So here, it doesn't rise to that level. I'm not actually taking a sledgehammer and smashing your windshield and reducing the value of your car in a overt, clear way that you can send me the repair bill. It's not as clear as that. So this is more causational. So grama benezikin, normally the rule is that that's pater. So normally, if I indirectly cause you a loss, so you can't send me the bill for that. You can't take me to Beis Din and force me to pay for whatever impact I have in an indirect fashion. However, that doesn't mean that I'm allowed to do it. Grama b'nezikin is usur, is prohibited. And that could be what we're talking about here, that even if you can't charge me afterwards, you can't present me with a bill for whatever monetary impact you think I had on either your business or the usage of your property, but you can have what we call injunctive relief. You can create a situation where you can stop me from having an unreasonable impact on your property. And perhaps that's what we're talking about. And also, there is going to be an isser for me to do that. And we have to figure out exactly what the parameters are. And it is brought in Shulchan Aruch and in the Ramah that there is a prohibition for me to look into your property. And we have to figure out exactly what the parameters are. It's clearly going to be a line where it's reasonable and where it's unreasonable. But there is an iser to look into somebody else's property to do hezekiah, so to speak. And even if it can't be charged for afterwards as a hezek in that sense, but there's going to be a prohibition. Now that prohibition could also correlate to the previous point, to the emotional pain that you're inflicting. And that's something which also has to be explored. But one way or another, that is codified in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah as a prohibition. And the idea that it's a prohibition, so the idea that it could be referring to the emotional aspect, it's interesting also, but the language of the Ramah is such that the Sma comments, his commentary to the Ramah, that it sounds like the Ramah means that even if you're not actually, let's say the Ramah talks about you're standing by your window and you're looking into your neighbor's property. It says, even if you're not actually looking into your neighbor's property, but it just looks like you're trying to see into his property from your window. And he highlights that the issue is not necessarily that you're actually spying on him, but that it gives the impression that you're spying on him. That's already a problem. So it sounds like he's emphasizing the issue that you cause in the victim, that he thinks he's being spied on, that he has the perception that you're looking at him, that that's already a problem. And that is certainly something that the post can talk about. Rav Yitzchok Zilberstein in his sefer Taurus HaYoledes, where he talks about issues of labor and childbirth. So he gets into the issue of ambulances, that context. And he points out that sometimes when an ambulance comes, everybody gathers around the ambulance and people are staring and people are making a whole scene. And he writes that that's a problem. We're not supposed to be looking when people are having personal moments of crisis and emergency and it's awkward for them and it's embarrassing. And he writes that that's an issur. It's a reflection of this issue. And we should be more careful about this. We should tell people to go away when they're all gathering around and staring when an ambulance comes. And that's what's recorded here in the Ramah. We shouldn't look like we're trying to look at people's private moments, whether we actually are or not. But even the perception is a problem. So that's actually probably more a function of the first issue of the emotional pain that that causes. But also it creates a problem monetarily and that it limits their ability to use their property. And the Aruch HaShulchan writes that if it has a monetary impact, that you are chayiv v'dei shamayim, that maybe you're not chayiv in Beis Din, but there is a moral obligation to pay whatever impact that that has. And the Stipler writes in a sefer in Bava Basra, writes that he's not sure that there's such a absolute exemption. Right? The idea that we're assuming that there's no monetary impact, that there's no bill to be paid for Hezek Riyah, he's not so convinced that that's so absolute. Right? So that's probably the case because we can't really establish with clarity how much monetary damage happened and that it's really your fault. But if it ever were the case that we really could clarify that because you compromised somebody's privacy, there was a clear line of responsibility to this much monetary damage, so then we would sue you. We would make you liable. And don't be so confident, don't be so sure that you're not going to ever be held responsible for that. So that's a important warning that he issues in the context of this whole issue. So that's a second perspective. So we have a perspective of the emotional impact of having your privacy compromised, and we have also the issue of the monetary impact that you're compromising another person's ability to utilize their property, and that could also be what we're talking about when we refer to hezekiah. And then there's a third angle, and that is the impact on society. There is a societal harm when there is no boundaries, when there is no sense of privacy. And that's something that we'll expand on more, because that's really what draws upon this week's parsha, and maybe there's even more to say about that, but we'll just touch upon it briefly. But that's really something that's expressed most in the Ramban, and we'll see how that really connects most clearly to this week's parsha. But the Ramban, when talking about Hezek Re'iyah, so he connects a lot of issues to it, and he seems to connect it also to the issue of Lashon Hara. So it's interesting, because not clear why Lashon Hara is involved in Hezek Re'iyah, unless we want to say, broadly speaking, that the concern is that when you're involved in other people's business too much, so that leads to gossip, and that is overall a societal weakening, and that lowering the boundaries of privacy leads to an overall corrosion of morality in a lot of different ways. And that's a problem. It's interesting that you have to see whether this is a reflection of that idea or some of the other ideas here, that if you have these two neighbors who are supposed to put a wall up between the two of them, so what would happen if they can't afford it? So they're supposed to share the cost between the two of them. But what if neither of them are able to afford it? Even between the two of them, they can't afford a wall. So the Torah writes that they can take from tzedakah funds to establish the wall between the two of them. And if they can't do that, then they have to try as hard as they can to set up systems so that they're not going to be looking at each other. So it's interesting. The Ramah doesn't mention the idea of tzedakah, and the Sma tries to figure out why not. And the Aruch HaShulchan tries to figure it out. It sounds like he understands that it's not coming from a mitzvah perspective, but it's coming from a basic human needs perspective to have this privacy that is established between the two of them. So what exactly is reflected there in the idea that this is something which you could theoretically even go to tzedakah for in terms of establishing that boundary is an interesting thing to consider. So having established that there are these three possible aspects of Hezek Re'iyah, that it could be an issue of inflicting emotional pain, it could be an aspect of monetary damage, or it could be a broader societal problem, and it could be all of the above. So again, it sounds funny to think that there is any dispute as to whether Hezek Re'iyah is a thing or not. So why should it be a topic of machlokes? Why should it be something that if you're learning Baba Basra, you see so many times in the first parak? So do we say Hezek Re'iyah Shmei Hezek or Hezek Re'iyah Lav Shmei Hezek? Why is it subject to a debate? It would seem to be that everyone should agree that Hezek Re'iyah is clearly a thing. It's hard to believe that anyone would question it. So there is a lot of theorizing, there is a lot written as to what is behind this debate. And it's probably the case that everyone certainly acknowledges all of what we've said so far. Everyone certainly acknowledges that, yes, on a basic level, Hezek Re'iyah certainly is a thing. That there's certainly a core level on which everyone acknowledges that there is a right to privacy, and there is a reality to all of the harm that we just discussed. And first of all, the Gemara itself establishes a number of times, probably five or six times, that there are instances in which there's no machlokas. Because a couple of times, the Gemara says, well, if you have the machlokas, so what about this case? And the Gemara says, oh, there, everyone agrees. We're just talking about this. So in certain situations, everyone agrees that that's a Hezek Re'iyah problem. We just want to know in that case, you know, there's a machlokas. So it's clear that in certain situations, there is definitely a concern of hezekiah, and it's only in certain situations there's an open question, is there a hezekiah in that case? So there is certainly a concept of a right to privacy that the Gemara does acknowledge, and yet it has a question of, in certain other situations, do we recognize the right to privacy in that situation? So still, what's the nature of the machlokas in those situations? So some of the Acharonim understand that it's not a question as to the validity of all those principles that we just mentioned. It's just in terms of whether we recognize it as a hezek that's actionable. So we need to have rules between people as far as what we regulate, and whether it's something that we're going to enforce monetarily, whether it's something that we're going to say, okay, you can do this, you can't do that, that's going to have to have some absolutes. So when we say Shmei Hezek or not, it is something that we recognize, something that we acknowledge, we don't acknowledge. So that's all that we're talking about. But yes, we certainly are aware of the fact that there are clear issues as far as privacy violations, but as far as regulating between two people, that's what we're talking about. We say it is hezek or isn't hezek, but we're not denying the reality of all of these issues. Other achronim understand that because, again, we're balancing between people, so yes, it's true that, for example, if I can see you in a certain situation, so you are going to be intimidated and inhibited from doing certain things that require privacy. But the question is, so whose problem is that? So is that my problem or is it your problem? So is it my problem that I should have to look away so that you can do whatever you want? Or is it then your problem that you should have to, okay, I understand that you won't be able to do those private things in this place and you'll have to find somewhere else to go. So maybe it depends on the nature of the place, and that's why in some contexts we'll say that everyone agrees that the burden is going to be on me to not look or to set up a fence. And in other contexts where the environment is different, then it's not so clear that the burden is on me, and maybe the burden is on you not to act in a private way. And there are other theories as well as to what's behind the issue. So, for example, there was an article by Rabbi Yaakov Drillman who suggested that there's two levels of the debate here, that maybe when it comes to things that are really inherently private, so then, yes, everyone agrees that there is a concept of hezek re'iyah that is at play, that if I'm going to infringe your privacy on something that by human nature is clearly understood as private, so then that's subject to hezek re'iyah. But what the Gemara is debating about is that there's an additional level of privacy, which to a certain extent mimics the evolution of the debate in American society as well, which is, I don't want you to know what I'm doing. Not necessarily about behavior that by its very nature is personal and private, but that I want to go about my business and not to have everybody necessarily knowing what it is. So I want to have walls, so you shouldn't know what I'm doing. So am I entitled to that? Is that a part of Choshen Mishpat? Is that a part of how society is set up? I'm entitled to have walls, you shouldn't be able to see what I'm doing. So maybe that's the machlokas. And maybe that's where you find the debate, and that may be in some situations yes, in some situations no. So some suggest that that's what's at stake in these debates. So what are the practical implications of these machlokesin? And what are the kind of situations where they shift? So there are a number of highly detailed contexts in which they make a difference, and they play out in the whole first parak of Bava Basra and a number of other parakim of Bava Basra, so we don't have the time tonight to go through all of the sugyas in Bava Basra, but just to try to give broadly a sense of what some of them are about. So they affect, as the Gemara opens up, they affect the kinds of construction that you're allowed to do, and to what extent am I allowed to build next to somebody else in a way that will give me visual access to his house, and to what extent am I obligated to have a wall in between me and somebody else, and to what extent am I allowed to open up a window that will allow me to see into somebody else's property. And that's the topic of a lot of the regulations in the first parakah of Bava Basra and later on, that I may not be permitted to open up windows, for example, if that's going to allow me to see. And there are some contexts which create different realities that are themselves interesting. So part of, again, modern parlance, which we find anticipated in some of the debates in Bava Basra, is what we call expectation of privacy. So how is there a context that's created where people get habituated to act a certain way, and how does that affect things? So, for example, there is a machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, that a lot of the Acharonim picked up on, that the Gemara talks about in trying to figure out when it goes back and forth about whether you say Hezek Riyash Me Hezek. So in one case, the Gemara talks about a certain proof that it thinks, okay, here the Gemara takes for granted that you need to have a wall. But then the Gemara says, no, this case is different because it was a case where there already was a wall between these two neighbors and it fell down. So then they clearly have to rebuild it. So they had agreed to have a wall beforehand and it fell down. So the Gemara says, nafal shiny, that a wall that fell, everyone agrees they have to rebuild. So why is it so clear that they have to rebuild a wall that was there before? Maybe they could just decide from now on not to have a wall at this point. So Rashi writes that Kfar Nisratsu Harishonim Bekoso, that whoever was there before, they already agreed that they're going to have a wall, so that's binding. So it sounds like it's a monetary point, that there was some kind of a commitment between whatever parties were there before, that they would have a wall. But Tosfos seems to say it differently. And Tosfos seems to say that because there had been a wall there before, even if the circumstances would not necessarily have demanded a wall, but hurgulu lasos, they were already in the habit of doing their activities that they would do privately because there was a wall, and they had not trained themselves to watch out for the prying eyes of their neighbor. So they were habituated to act as if they had privacy. So now it's difficult for them to live without a wall. So the expectation of privacy that was created by there being a wall, that changed their reality. So that Tosfos, very fascinating idea, and something which could play a role in the contemporary debate about how we look at issues of privacy. So that's also a part of it. And you find a number of machlokas in like this. So for example, Gemara also talks about that there's a difference between, let's say, as far as the requirements of the wall, let's say you have somebody who has a roof next to somebody's chatzer. So the person who has the chatzer can say to the person who wants to do work on his roof, or who wants to spend time on his roof, says, it's not fair. He says, I'm on my chatzer, so you know when I'm on the chatzer. You know I'm outside. You can see me outside. I can't see when you're on my roof, so I'm vulnerable when you're on your roof. So I'm vulnerable to being spied on by you, and I won't know when you're there, so I could take into account how I should try to be more guarded in my behavior. So it's going to impact me in a way that's not predictable, and therefore it's a disproportionate impact, and maybe that's going to affect me in a way that's not fair, and therefore I should be able to demand the wall in a way that's going to be impacted by that reality. So again, the idea of the expectations and how that affects things plays out in fascinating ways. And there are machlokes and rishonim as far as how minig plays a role regarding these expectations of a wall, and also very much the whole question of mechila. So if one party or the other says that I'm willing to dispense with it, or and then maybe changes his mind. So how exactly is that going to impact on things? So that was a major discussion in the Rishonim, and that also affects the question of, is this a matter of monetary principle? If it's a question of mamonos, so then we find that mechila usually has a staying power when it comes to monetary issues, that even if I have a monetary right against you, I can make a demand on you monetarily, but if I mochel that right, so then usually that sticks. But if it's a matter, let's say, of emotional pain, so then even if you're mochel on that, you have the right to change your mind. That's something that comes up in the second paragraph of Bava Basra, that if I'm doing something that inflicts pain on you physically, so then even if you say you're okay with it, so then you can change your mind later on, because you could say, I didn't realize how much suffering this was going to cause for me. So when it comes to issues of Hezek Re'ia, there's a discussion in the Rishonim, is that something that Mechila should have an impact on? So that was a question in the Rishonim, and there are a couple of important nuances there, but it may also tie in this question, is Hezek Re'ia a function of Mamonos, where Mechila has a bigger role, or is it tied into the emotional pain component, where Mechila has less of a role, that Mechila is not really going to be binding necessarily, because the person who is hurt by the impact can say, I didn't realize how painful this is, I didn't realize how much this is impacting me, and that's something that I no longer feel I can tolerate. So that has a major impact. So this is all in terms of visual spying, in terms of being able to be seen by somebody. There is a whole other discussion to be had, and when it comes to audio spying, when it comes to being overheard by somebody, and it comes to also especially electronically, which nowadays there are a whole other ways to do that. So I think I'd like to have that branch out into a separate discussion, because there's a few more points I want to say about this, about other privacy concerns. So I think I'm going to branch that out into a part two. So I think in terms of the issues of privacy and eavesdropping and confidentiality, I think I'm going to leave that aside for part two, but just to say a little bit more about the visual issue. So the topic of seeing people and privacy as far as that's concerned, so then the Mishnah comes back to this on Daf Nuntes and Daf Samach in Bava Basra, and this is where it really connects to this week's Parsha, because the Mishnah says that we're not allowed to open a window opposite somebody else's window. And we shouldn't have a door. I don't mean a window opening in the sense that the window is closed and open up. I mean that you shouldn't create a window in your house. You shouldn't build a window in your house that's going to be directly opposite somebody else's window. And we shouldn't build a door that's going to be directly opposite somebody else's door. And the Gemara explains that, how do we know this? That this is from Parshas Balak. Because in Parshas Balak, we find that even Balak feels the compulsion that he has to praise the Jewish people, even though his mission was to curse them, but he gets turned around, and he has to praise the Jewish people, and he says, Matovu Alech Yaakov. And Chazal tell us that what was so impressive, what did he see about the tents of the Jewish people that he felt he had to praise? That he saw that Pischehem, that their entrances were not mechuvanim zek neged zeh. They weren't coordinated, they weren't in sync, they were out of sync, they were not parallel to each other. So they didn't have the doors facing each other, they didn't have the windows facing each other, so that one could see into the other. So here it seems like we're talking about Hezek Re'ia once again, that if you have a window facing somebody else's window, or a door facing somebody else's door, you could see into their property. So it seems like the Mishnah and the Gemara is coming back to this idea of Hezek Re'ia yet again in Bava Basra. However, a number of the Svarim point out, and this does seem muchrach, that this is actually an additional din. And that here the language is really more a language of Isser. And it's actually Meduyik in the Shulchan Aruch this way. That here, even if both parties were okay with it, that this is not okay. That this is something which is a value. That this is about the value of modesty in society. And that the Torah is telling us, and here the Gemara is quoting a pasuk to make the point, the pasuk in this week's parasha, that we are obligated to have a standard of modesty in society, and that even if the neighbors were okay with having windows that opened up to each other, it would be wrong to do that. So this is different from the previous Mishnayos, and the context of the opening of Bava Basra and the wall between the two neighbors and the chatzer that was one next to the other. So there, okay, that was more discretionary. So if one neighbor wants to have privacy from the other neighbor when he's got his business over there, so okay, so the two neighbors could say, listen, we don't care so much about that. We don't need that much privacy. And if they decided they didn't want to have the wall, or they could have a lower wall, fine. But what we're talking about here, we're talking about real matters of modesty. So that's a matter of Isser. There, this is about the values of the Torah and the holy Jewish people. And that's what we say, Ma Tovu Olach Yaakov, as a value system. And that's something that is more absolute. And that's not something that is given to the choice of the people. So even though there is some overlap, and we mentioned before the Ramban, and the Ramban is really commenting on this Mishnah. So in some of the sources, there is an overlap between the Hezek Re'iyah of the first Mishnah and this Mishnah as well. But it does seem that some of the Sfarim point out, and the Ravid Hazav in his commentary on this pasuk, and others take pains to emphasize that it seems like there really are two separate dinim that do make this point that there is the more voluntary kind of right to privacy that we were discussing till now in the opening themes, and then there's the more obligatory chiyuv of modesty and value of privacy that is being emphasized here of Matovu Olach Yaakov, which is more of a societal value that is on top of that and is not something that we are allowed to waive and to do away with, even if we're okay with it. So this is something that has to be taken in conjunction with this. Now, at the same time, just to close, I should mention that these are not absolutes, and there are competing values. So just to mention a few, so just in terms of personal interests, so there are competing values. So, for example, the Gemaras in Bava Basra, when talking about windows that you can't have because they allow you to see into other people's property, so the Gemaras also talk equally about windows that your neighbor can't stop you from having. So if you need to have windows in order to have light into your property, that if you don't have the windows, you can't use your property because it's too dark, or to what extent are you entitled to have a view? And that's a big discussion in Poskim, especially in contemporary Poskim. Some contemporary Poskim write that that's a new thing, to have a view, and then that shifted in society. That's only something you find in the more recent Sfarim, that there's going to be a kpeda that if somebody builds their property in a way that it blocks your view from your window, that there's going to be an impact on your property value, and there's going to be a complaint about that. So that's interesting literature in more recent years. But there is discussion about that competing interest, you know, the same way that their Mishnah is saying what kind of windows you can't have, to what extent is there also a literature about what kind of windows are you entitled to have and your neighbor Davka can't stop you from having. So there are competing interests as far as the specific issues of windows, but they're also, in terms of the broader concerns of privacy, there are competing values as well. So, for example, a lot of this we alluded to relates to the issue of Lashon Hara as well, but sometimes when it comes to Lashon Hara, so there is a need to speak up when somebody poses danger to someone else. And it's also been noted that sometimes privacy can be a cover for allowing somebody to engage in dangerous behavior that goes unreported and that is allowed to continue under the guise of privacy. And indeed, one of the contemporary Mefarshim on the Chafetz Chaim is a whole genre of Svarim that were written in the past century as Perushim on the Chafetz Chaim, and one of the most prominent of those Svarim points out that nowadays our lives are more intertwined than they used to be, and that sometimes there's a greater need, Davka, to know what's going on with your neighbors just to protect yourself and for your own safety, and that is sometimes a counterbalance to some of the considerations of privacy. But also, as more of a affirmative goal, it's interesting to note, and this is a whole separate discussion, maybe this is a sugya we'll discuss in some future chabura, but there is a sugya of kofen al midas tom, which is a whole different topic, but that has to do with when there is a obligation to help someone, and when it's not just about not hurting people, but when tzedakah and chesed is something that we compel you to do. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's Chassadic Lavracha had a very extensive article about this, and I think he originally wrote it in Hebrew, even though he's, obviously a master of English, but I think somebody else translated the English version, so I don't know if this was his choice of words, or the translator's choice of words, but the way he phrased the issue of the problem of Kofar Midas Dom is that sometimes we have to compel people who are declining to do chesed that they should be doing, because he phrased it as an exaggerated sense of privacy. That basically he was saying that they are too disconnected from the needs of their neighbors because they are too much to themselves. And that he saw that, he phrased that, he used the word privacy as essentially too much on the side of privacy, that they are so private that they have no concern for the needs of others, even when it wouldn't really hurt them in any way, it wouldn't really cost them anything to be helping others, but they have too much of an emphasis on being alone and being private in that sense, that it comes at the cost of them being Balei Chesed. So sometimes Chesed is a counterbalance to privacy, and that's also something to be aware of. So all of this is a part of the broad framework of the question of a right to privacy within halacha. And again, the question of whether privacy becomes autonomy is not something that we discussed. We're just trying to talk about the question of privacy in and of itself. But what we also did not get into the question of listening into somebody's conversations, which is a major, major aspect, especially in the contemporary environment. So, Be'ez Hashem, we'll try to discuss that separately next week. Wish everyone a wonderful night and a wonderful week, and
Thank you,
should
Rabbi.
be only good things. All right, have a great night.